This is Bill Brenner for SearchSecurity.com. You're listening to the latest installment of our Newsmaker podcast series. For this installment, I talked to Wendo Snyder. Snyder was a senior security strategist at Microsoft before leaving in 2005 to become a founder and CTO of Matisano Security. In September 2006, she became Zilla Corp's security chief and is now responsible for locking down the widely popular Firefox browser and other programs. In this interview, Snyder credits Microsoft for working hard at a faster and more accurate patching process and admits that sometimes even Mozilla has to pull back on security updates at the 11th hour. Wendo, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Let me start, Wendo, by asking, you did work for Microsoft before moving over to Mozilla. Talk, if you can, about why you made the move over to Mozilla.
So actually, I went from Microsoft to a startup that a few friends were doing, and then from the startup, I went to Mozilla. But I went to Mozilla because it seemed like there was a real opportunity to impact how users really experience the Internet and to try and make that as secure as possible.
Now, that company that you were at in the middle, was that Matisano?
Yes, that was.
And are you still involved with them at all?
They're still friends of mine, but technically I'm not working there.
Okay, so you're 100% with Mozilla now. And obviously, that's where your allegiance is. But let me ask you anyway. You had a lot of time at Microsoft, and you played a large role, obviously, in the development of XP, SP2, Service Pack 2. Talk a bit about the difference between Microsoft's patching process and Mozilla's, and where you think Mozilla's process is more effective in your mind.
Well, Mozilla really has the benefit of this enormous community, and they help us test nightly builds, and that's like tens of thousands of 10,000 people that download the nightly builds every night. So in terms of getting a range of testing on a let's say a security patch or a new version of the browser, that's a huge number of people trying it in all kinds of different combinations and different platforms and so on. So it's that I'd say is the real difference in shipping in the patch process.
Well, speaking of that, and I've talked to others at Mozilla over time who have stressed that one of the strengths on the security front is that people are always taking a look at Mozilla, and so problems are quickly reported and quickly fixed. But let's talk a bit about the art, if you will, of vulnerability disclosure. Obviously, Microsoft has taken a lot of researchers to task in the past for disclosing flaws without giving them a chance to provide a patch or a workaround. Again, this is their take on things. And then there's the way things have been with Mozilla, where it's open source, so obviously everybody is picking apart things in a more open forum. Talk about what you consider to be responsible disclosure versus irresponsible disclosure. And are there any cases where you feel Mozilla has fallen victim to the latter?
Well, Microsoft and Mozilla both agree that the user is most protected when the security researcher reports the vulnerability to the vendor, and the vendor has a chance to patch it before the information is made public. We're definitely in agreement on that point. At Mozilla, though, we appreciate any report of security vulnerability, even if it happens to go public, because that means we have an opportunity to fix it, and that makes the product more secure over time. I personally would prefer that users have the opportunity to get the patch before the rest of the world gets the details of the vulnerability. But even getting that information out there, it's still valuable because overall the browser becomes more secure, stronger, and users are protected.
Sure. And now another part of this too is the value of source code and binary analysis and the way Microsoft approaches it versus Mozilla and their approach to it. Can you talk a bit about that?
Sure. Well, Microsoft has done a lot of work internally to train their developers on security issues and best practices and so on, and engages vendors to come in and work on their code. And at Mozilla, we really try to reach out to the community, especially the community security researchers, and encourage them to contribute to the Mozilla project by turning their research in this direction as well. A lot of browser issues impact every browser, or are let's say easier to understand if you have the source code available. So it makes for an interesting project for some of those people. And so we really value their contribution and really encourage them to help us find security vulnerabilities, help us think of ways to better secure the browser.
Sure. Now, I want to spend the next couple of minutes playing devil's advocate with you, since we report on security as it affects everybody. A lot of what we've written about over the past couple of years has been, the browser wars, for lack of a better title, and people comparing Firefox to Internet Explorer. Mozilla last fall released Firefox 2.0, and it didn't take long. I believe it was by late December that Mozilla had put out a pretty large security fix for 2.0 to address a number of vulnerabilities. And we've seen that in the past as well, where there was a pretty big security update right after version 1.5 and then right after Firefox came out of beta with 1.0. Talk a bit about that and how the Mozilla process is still better in your mind than Microsoft's, where as far as the number of flaws that you have to address and how quickly you're able to address them.
Okay, so at Mozilla, we try to ship a security patch every 6 to 8 weeks, and that includes vulnerabilities that might have been found externally, but it also includes vulnerabilities that we find through part of our internal analysis. We include those in the regular security updates. So to say that a patch came out, right after we shipped 2.0 is I could have told you that months before we shipped it. Of course, we're going to ship a security patch because we're going to continue to look for security vulnerabilities. And we're going to make them available to the user as soon as we can, which is this semi-scheduled. I mean, it's scheduled 6 to 8 weeks, but it's not like Patch Tuesday, for example. Whereas at Microsoft, they have a slightly different process where they do look for vulnerabilities in their products, but then they update them in service packs, which come out, for Windows, for example, it comes out, around once a year or so. But then when vulnerabilities are found externally, they are shipped in security updates, which is what you see through, like, the Patch Tuesday. The monthly update. So the difference here is that we're continuously looking for vulnerabilities, and we are continuously making them available to our customers. They don't have to, or to our users. They don't have to wait for the next version of the product to get a lot of the benefit of the security work we're doing. They get it on a regular, ongoing basis.
So you actually have these 8-week windows where you try to have an update every 8 weeks.
Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks, somewhere in there.
Okay, very good. And talk a bit as far as the ease of deploying these patches. There's been a lot of discussion out there about how it's become easier with Microsoft through programs like WSUS, and then there are those who say, well, with Firefox, you just get a box telling you there's an update, and boom, there it is. Talk a bit about that.
Well, definitely the model we're working with at Mozilla is designed to meet the needs of the consumer. So whereas Microsoft has a lot of infrastructure built in for enterprises. So on our side, we think that's an easy model for a user to work with. Oh, there's a new update available. Click, and now you're good to go. And we found that's been very effective. And we've spent our time creating features and security mechanisms to protect home users, to protect the end user. And that's where the bulk of our time has been. Because that's really our target market, if you will.
Now, I know you're limited in what you can say about Microsoft, and I know, they are the past for you now, but looking at it as objectively as you can, if that's possible, do you think that when it comes to producing patches and doing it quickly and making patches that work and don't have a lot of compatibility problems, that they've gotten better, or are you still fairly skeptical about how they go about it?
I was never skeptical of what Microsoft was doing. I was always very proud of the changes they made, you know, mm-hmm. over the time that I was there. They do have a difficult task in that they are testing all of their changes against, you know, a huge suite of applications that rely on Internet Explorer, for example, and they also have to test against a lot of controls that are being used in internal applications, which, let's say, the home user doesn't see as much because they're primarily used on internet applications. So, you know, that's part of it there. On our side, we have this tremendous community that's able to test all these different configurations for us in a very short period of time. So in that regard, it's almost it's surprising to think that maybe Mozilla has more resources mm-hmm. on the testing side than Microsoft does with all their, let's say, financial resources. So that's one of the reasons that we're able to ship patches so quickly, is because we're able to get really broad testing done in a very short amount of time.
So whereas Microsoft has their testing team, for you there are people independently out there all the time doing their own testing because it is the open source world.
Yes.
Okay. And now I noticed that with this is Microsoft yesterday had their first patch release of the year, and they actually pulled back on half of what they had originally planned to release, and one of the things that remains unfixed are a couple of zero-day flaws in their Word program. Having been there, talk about why it is sometimes necessary to hold back like that, and has that ever been an issue on Mozilla's side of the aisle?
It has been, actually. We've been ready to ship a fix for something and then decided, you know what, there's really a more robust way to fix this that would prevent, you know, other problems in the future that would, you know, or maybe this particular fix didn't get enough testing and so on. And I, you know, certainly while I was at Microsoft, and actually for every company that I've worked with, mm-hmm. you know, occasionally you go to fix something and you find that actually this isn't the only problem there. There's many, and then you realize, okay, well, I don't want to fix just this one problem. I want to fix this whole category of problems. So, you know, sometimes you find that late in the process. And sometimes it's really just about testing. Maybe you're not able to get testing, you know, all of the testing in that you need to do. There's lots of reasons why it can slip. It's not, I don't know, I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm sure that holding it is going to, I mean, these are all smart people working on really hard problems.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we're all trying to do the right thing by the user.
Sure.
So I'm sure they're not holding it for, you know, on a whim. I'm sure they've come to the conclusion that the user will be more secure overall if they fix it the right way.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'd like to conclude by asking about what may be in store coming up for Firefox. I've noticed by my math that usually once every year or so there's a significant update of the browser. Can you talk about anything that might be in store as far as improvements you're working on now and what the timetables may be?
Sure. We're moving more and more code to managed code to minimize the risk from implementation-level vulnerabilities such as overflows and things like that. We're also working on mechanisms and in-memory management to prevent the impact of a vulnerability, so make it more difficult to write an exploit for a particular vulnerability if you know, vulnerability exists in some of the code. So we're looking at ways to mitigate broad categories of vulnerability and not just you know, play whack-a-mole with each individual vulnerability as it comes up.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for, you know, broad protection schemes.
Okay, very good. Well, again, Wendo Snyder, thank you for being with us today. That's it for this month. The latest information security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And you can always catch our Security Wire weekly podcasts featuring summaries of the latest news and interviews with security professionals at searchsecurity.com/podcast. I'm Bill Brenner. As always, thanks for listening.